Tour podcast and YouTube blog covering the German startup scene with news, interviews, and live events.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Joe from StartupRadio.io, your startup podcast and YouTube blog from Germany, as well as the world's first internet radio station dedicated to startups and tech companies. Today, I bring you an interview with a Swiss-based startup, and therefore, I would like to welcome Dennis. Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Joe. Thanks a lot for the introduction. I'm fine. Actually, I'm at the office working. Yeah, I mean, as every day, we are here to work. How are you?
I'm doing great. Actually, yes, you are getting back into the office rhythm after Corona. I actually saw a lot of other startups and corporates just slowly getting back into the normal office groove after like almost one and a quarter years. Everything is slowly getting back to normal. Guys, if you haven't already done so, make sure to hit the like and subscribe button wherever you're listening to this podcast or watching this video. And of course, leave us a very nice comment, especially if you start up radioing those interviews, meaning binge watching a lot of our interviews. Dennis, to talk a little bit about you, you are the co-founder and CEO of SwissPod. Is that correct?
Yes.
That's correct. And before we get into what SwissPod does, disclaimer, it has something to do with the Hyperloop. Can we talk a little bit about what you've been doing before, you actually got fascinated by the Hyperloop? I see you studied, Bucharest, and then you came to Lausanne to do your PhD. That's right.
There is an intermediary step in between those two events in my life, and I'll try to explain you to be as clear as possible. So I will start a bit earlier than that, if it's possible.
Sure.
I was in a high school where. Due to some family issues, I had to work during my high school time in order to leverage a bit my economical situation. Mm-hmm. Since I was young than 18 years old, I started to learn what money means. And how difficult sometimes is to earn money. So, realizing that in such a situation, it's like not really comfortable. I tried to study as much as I can, and I started to learn a lot of physics and mathematics. Therefore, in my last year of high school, I became an Olympic at mathematics. And I started to study in deep physics more than mathematics, starting with my university. I was admitted to the Polytechnic University of Bucharest, where I graduated as valedictorian after 4 years and a half, the Faculty of Electronics, Telecommunications, and Information Technology. Mm-hmm. During this time, at the point I was reading on Reddit, and I had subscribed to Elon Musk Reddit's page, and I think it was around 2014 when I saw that Elon Musk launched a competition about Hyperloop. So I was reading through the comments of that Reddit, and one of my actual best friends, Richard Behiel, asked a question in the comments of that Reddit, saying, "Hey guys, who wants to create a Reddit Loop team for this competition?" And this created a a wave of people, experts in this world, that they just want to be part of a nice story. So I think we are at the beginning around 30 people who voted to or to or commented to create such a Reddit team. And we opened a Slack account where everyone was included in that Slack, and we started to collaborate. We received from Elon Musk and from SpaceX the design of the tube and the design of the let's say the environment that he was creating for us in order to test those capsules. I think at that competition there have been registered more than 10,000 teams at the first edition. So it was a huge wave worldwide, not only in US. And we managed to qualify with that team in the last 100 teams that were selected for the final of this competition in Texas, namely in College Station. So for the first time, we met in Texas in College Station. So we're coming from Europe, from US, from India, from China. So there have been people coming from the entire corner of from all the corners of this planet, and we met there for the first time in our life, and it was like, you know, meeting my virtual friends. The surprise was even bigger, because we managed to win the best design award, the best non-student design award at that competition. And we managed to get the trophy from SpaceX, which was really cool.
One question: why are we not seeing this trophy in the background?
That's a good one. After that, we actually had to build a capsule that we promised in our design to be built. We launched a crowdfunding campaign where we managed to fundraise the capital we needed to create this this capsule. And I mean, it was pretty cool because it was successful. And being in Bucharest, I moved to US in order to build this this capsule. And we've been we are working a lot, and we managed to have our center in Silicon Valley in Menlo Park, and we stayed together in the same Airbnb house, and it was like super helpful for us to, you know, to move on the design of the capsule, and therefore in January 2017 we moved to Los Angeles, where the tube was in place and built by SpaceX, and at that competition, at the testing competition, we were awarded with the first prize for innovation, which was really great. For the second competition, we're not allowed anymore to participate, and this came a bit, you know, it was a bit weird. And let's say half of the team members kind of quit, and I was one of the of these team members that quit the team because the company wanted to create a kind of a business based on drones, which I was personally not really excited by. So I applied for a PhD and for a master program in Switzerland. I was admitted for the PhD in US, but I didn't have the an English exam in time because I was busy with doing the competition. So I came to Switzerland as a master student, but still, I was challenged by the fact that I was not allowed anymore to participate in that second competition officially. We're allowed to test our capsule solution, but not to participate, you know, to get awarded, let's say.
Do you have any specific reason why you were not allowed to participate, like in second competition? Was it because you had too big of an advantage from the first competition because you developed already such a lot, or have there been different reasons?
The only explanation we got was that they wanted to focus more on the student teams, and we're not a student team. So that was the reason. Now, coming in Switzerland and being part of this university, at EPFL, was bringing me in a position that I got my own personal challenges and thoughts, because I wanted to participate again in this competition. So I created my own team here in Switzerland, this university. And without knowing the fact that in the past it was a similar solution called Swiss Metro, developed in 70s in the same university I am right now, I said, "Hey guys, don't you want to create this team?" And everybody got excited. I was supported by the local authorities. I was supported by everyone here to create this prototype that at the end was awarded with the best engineering system at this competition again, and the third prize for speed. So in the summer of 2018, when this competition happened, I met Elon Musk in Los Angeles, and I had a conversation with him about how the future of transportation should look like and how, you know, how we can move, let's say, the Hyperloop industry forward. And his intention was to create, as he's doing right now, a tunneling system that creates affordable infrastructures. Having the same vision with the price of the infrastructure and the problems you can solve on the capsule side that will affect the cost of the infrastructure, me and the co-founder Cyril Denera, the actual CTO, we decided to create this startup, Swisspod. So before Swisspod, that is the story. In the same time, being a master student, for me, it lasted only 1 month, because I got admitted for a PhD without finishing my master. So I've been doing a PhD in a Hyperloop industry, applying deep mathematical concepts that I was talking about in the Hyperloop operations. And this is what I'm actually doing, and I'm finishing my PhD in probably 1 year. So this has been, let's say, this is the life before Swisspod. That was
We may add that the Hyperloop was made famous recently by Elon Musk, but it's not necessarily his idea. I vividly remember from my own life that I was actually, when I was looking through books like printed in the 1980s, that they already had high speed trains going through vacuum like tubes, and therefore there was no air resistance, and therefore they could get to real high speeds. And I do believe that's one of the concepts. Also that they are accelerated with a magnetic power instead of steam engines or diesel engines or something like that. But he made it famous, and I really do like the idea. I already liked it in the past. So basically, there's nothing not to like about it. And I would be curious, what are your thoughts on the Hyperloop? Is it the future of transportation? Do we just have to do it, or is it something that will be part of a mix for the mobility of the future that we have to try out?
I think you pointed out a very good a remark here that you transform in a question. In general, I have some visions when it comes to the future of transportation in general, which also includes Hyperloop. So I think for me, a smart mobility or smart transportation of people would be that you can offer an interoperable system between different modes of transportation. For instance, you actually exit your house, you are connected to the bus station that brings you to a train station that will bring you to a Hyperloop station, and you take the Hyperloop and you go I don't know, let's say 300 kilometers away for your daily job. So in this context, I would see Hyperloop working. Of course, there are many challenges when it comes to the Hyperloop, but I think for intracontinental ways, let's say routes, I think it makes sense from the perspective of sustainability. But it also makes sense because it's a high-speed transportation system. So let's say our goal is not to, for instance, not to do not have airplanes, but our goal is to change the way we travel at high speeds in the same continent. So we don't say that airplanes are bad, but I think the airplanes would make sense for longer distances, let's say for intercontinental distances, but not intracontinental distances.
We may give a few examples for the people who are not here from Germany or Europe. Basically, Switzerland is located in the Alps, which are between, simplified speaking, Germany and Italy. And basically here in Frankfurt, you can hop on a plane and 45 minutes later, you're arriving safe at the airport in Milano. And basically you have to do that because you have to cross the Alps. And, therefore a Hyperloop would be pretty awesome because you can basically tunnel underneath the Alps. That's basically your idea. And that's why it makes such a lot of sense to actually set this up in Switzerland, because it's a very crucial country sitting in the Alps, bordering Italy, France, and Germany, as well as Austria. And basically you can get, you have their very central position where you can make a lot of connections, which are now partially blocked by the Alps. Don't get us wrong. There are tracks across the Alps, underneath the Alps. There are also roads, Gotthard Pass, for example, and so on and so forth, that you can cross the Alps, but it's tiresome. And depending on the weather, especially in the winter, it may still be difficult or dangerous. Okay, and here you go. There is your solution of Swissport.
It's worth mentioning that one of the other advantages of Hyperloop is that it is immune to the weather. So having a constrained environment, so kind of constraining everything in a tube which does not have any kind of interaction with the exterior, this mode of transportation becomes the safest. And we believe that this is very important, because having a constrained constrained environment, we are kind of capable to build a driverless solution. So in general, I don't know, in the history, if you take a look, all those big accidents, industrial accidents or nuclear accidents, happened due to human mistakes. And what we want to do is to automatize, so to have an automatic system that is capable to be resilient to any kind of accidents that might happen in the future. But this is possible due to the fact that our environment is, again, is constrained. And we don't, we are not dealing with any kind of perturbance that is coming from the exterior. So we, in on our trajectory, there are not people passing or cars or birds or other kind of disturbances that can, that could potentially appear. And I think it is worth mentioning, even if people are kind of, they fear about, let's say, traveling in a tunnel at supersonic or at sonic speeds might be I don't know, a bit scary. I think it's worth mentioning that it's the safest mode of transportation. It's one of the, let's say, unique mode of transportation that has a dedicated environment, not only from the, let's say, a way point of view, like railway or highway, but also from other potential perturbances that you might have with the weather, with different objects passing or different, let's say, in general perturbances. So I think it's very good what you pointed out, and that's why we're pushing towards this the creation of this mode of transportation.
And you better brace yourselves, because the future is coming faster than you think.
And for everybody who's watching this on YouTube, we'll have a little bit footage courtesy of you to actually show what a SwissPod looks like. And of course, we will link down here in the show notes the company's website. And there you can also have a look at it. But as people may realize, there are vacuum tubes underneath the Earth, or on Earth, or especially underneath the Alps. And that may be a little bit tricky from the engineering side, as well as requiring a lot of development. Where you guys are actually at, and what is your schedule to actually achieve this?
So this is a good question. So in general, it would be good if you can avoid the tunneling process. So, but depending on the geology of a place or another, we'll choose if this mode of transportation is going to be underground or on the ground. So we have some analysis done in Switzerland, and we strongly believe that this mode of transportation in Switzerland would make sense underground. From this point of view, we are talking about different technologies that should be developed in order to have such a project. In this transportation system, there is a consortium of different companies which develop their own part. So in this equation, there are three main players: an operator, a vehicle provider, and a civil engineering company that will tunnel or will dig or will create tunnels or tubes. Therefore, in this equation, the SwissPod's business plan is to be a vehicle provider. So just to make you an analogy, SwissPod is for Hyperloop what Tesla is for highways, let's say, what Airbus might be for airports, or what Alstom is for railways. So what we develop, regardless of the underground or on the ground mode of transportation, what we do is to create a vehicle that is capable to run in that infrastructure. So we are advancing very fast with this technology, especially that in the last 2 months we got accepted to us to get a grant from the Swiss government that will create the first European testing facility.
And that's great news. When will be this testing facility starting? Because I do believe 2021 may be a little bit out of the question, depending on the dimensions you're talking about.
So before answering this question, I think it's worth mentioning that this hasn't been spoken yet. So it's the first time when I publicly talk about. We received last week all the parts of the tube as well as the fit of the tube. And we estimate that early 2021, we're going to have the first Hyperloop test. Maybe not at its best performances, but it will happen. So this is our progress. In the same time, we also work in the United States, and we secured one pioneering project in US with Department of Transportation USA in order to get closer to a full-scale prototype. But this will happen a bit later on. At this moment, we're focusing for this the creation of this infrastructure in a consortium with different universities and companies. We're pretty glad about that. And we believe that the outcome of this facility will show many results that are relevant for the Hyperloop industry. Mm-hmm.
What do you think? I see your timeline here on the pitch deck you shared with us. Currently, there is a plan of having 2029, the Hyperloop demonstration route. What might this be? Would it be just like the German Maglev Transrapid is basically on a very flat area, just running around in circles? Would it be something like this? People can get in, drive a little bit and get out at the same spot? Or will it be actually a connection from place A to place B?
What you explain now is the design of our testing facility in Switzerland. But to answer...
I did not know that before.
To answer the question you asked, in 2029, we want to have an initial route of, let's say, less than 50 kilometers that will show that this mode of transportation is safe. Actually, we are working to go to the market a bit earlier in 2023, at the end of 2023, to build a kind of a mini Hyperloop system in order to transport important goods that are relevant for to be in time. For instance, we are working now to develop such a system and we want to propose this to companies like Amazon or DHL or UPS, that they want to transport goods from a place to another in a low period of time. Of course, this is a bit on the early stage, but yeah, we want to have first the technology in hands. We want to show to the world that this would be possible. So that's why we want first to prove that this technology is possible. Nowadays, with Transrapid, for instance, or Maglev, people show to the world that this mode of transportation might be possible. But because, this project has never happened in Europe in a real case, because there are many constraints. And I think one of the most important reasons that this hasn't been built yet is the price of the infrastructure. Also this case it's valid for Hyperloop as well, and we're not worried that this is not possible, or this is possible, but the question is, how would you make that in order to create an affordable way to transport people? So that is the main challenge we foresee in the Hyperloop industry. And we solve this issue by having an unique propulsion system that is actually patented and will be tested in in this testing facility. So the question is not really if it's possible, it's the question is how it's possible. And the question is not if it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen. So also, if you take a look on the history, iPhone was not the first company which created the tablet or which created a smartphone, but because they changed the way the smartphone or the tablet was looking like, they had the opportunity to get first on the market. So this is what we are trying to solve as well in the Hyperloop industry. So we want to complicate the capsule solution in order to minimize the price of the infrastructure and in order to maximize our chances to fit one capsule solution in a given infrastructure. I hope I was clear with this, but
you were. We may add for everybody who doesn't know that Transrapid is a maglev train from Germany, but the only route you can actually take it is in Shanghai from Pudong Airport to the city center, which I took several times, and it is amazingly fast. It goes more than 400 kilometers an hour, but apparently it's not economically viable. That's what you've been referring to. We do understand that you first need to test out and that you want to come down with the price and you have to have a good usability. Totally understood. Just we are already running a little bit over our normal time for this interview, but nonetheless, I really enjoy it. I would just like one more question from you, because as everybody can tell, when you have 2029 in 8 years, testing a demonstration track of, like, are we talking about track or tube here?
A tube,
a 50 kilometer testing tube. Less than 50. People can tell that it's not right now economically viable and maybe in the future. And so there's a very long-term race going on here, and you're not the only one, the only team in the world working on the Hyperloop. Where do you think you stand? You're in pretty good standing. You're absolutely number one. Or do you think there is a chance you'll be one of the very few finally emerging companies who can make this really viable?
We cannot compare in general with other companies that are building, that are involved in the development of the Hyperloop industry, because we have this unique plan of really focusing on the capsule and to deliver a product that is the capsule. There are also other companies involved. I think there are another six among us. And all of them, they either work on civil engineering of this mode of transportation or operations, or maybe on different subsystems, like on the infrastructure, like switching lanes. So, if you ask me in a micro business view, I would say that we cannot compare with the others. Now, of course, if we take a look on the macro point of view, I think it's also worth mentioning that we're the last company opened on the market. So we started operations at the end of 2019. And of course, we started smaller than the others, that they had a bit of time to move on in this industry. But I think it's worth mentioning that after 1 year and a half, or let's say 2 years, we'll have the first European testing facility up and running, which is great. So this shows a lot of progress in a short amount of time. I think we're really catching up in a good manner with the others.
Actually, that are great closing words. As people can tell, we'll keep track of you guys. Hopefully we'll be there when you open up the testing facility. That would be just awesome. And
you have my open invitation now, Joe, if you want to
I have it on record. Really, literally on record. Yeah, that is great. Looking forward to speak to you again. And as people can tell, we're talking here a little bit about a longer term project, and we will keep track of you, meaning you'll be back in like 1 or 2 years and we'll talk about it again. Dennis, was a pleasure having you here. Best of luck with your A, PhD, and B, SwissPod project. Thank you for being a guest here.
Thank you, Joe, for the invitation.
If you are a professional looking at the European startup scene, Germany is a place you cannot miss. Fortunately for you, there is startuprad.eu, the authority on German startups. This English-only podcast brings you fresh interviews each week. Most likely, you have never heard or read anything on these startups before in English, but you will in the future. Be ahead of the curve and subscribe to startuprad.eu podcast, or check for the startuprad.eu internet radio station. Check your Alexa for the startuprad.eu skill as well.